Welcome to Gardens for Everybody. Today, Marianne and I are once again at Silver Springs Farm. And today we're talking to Mel Jones, who is actually, you give me your title, Mel. What's your title?
I'm a project manager for the garlic project.
Okay, so yes, so you're basically, we know that there's lots of garlic grown at Silver Springs, and you're sort of in charge of how the gardens will, or the field will go and what happens to it. So how long have you been doing that?
Well, I've been involved in the project right from the very beginning. My kids that are turning 40 years old were in their teenage years when we started this, and it started out as a very small project. So I was somewhat involved in there, and then it just got more and more. And then 15 years ago, I retired from my job in the federal government, and then I was asked if I would take over as the project manager because the previous manager was having some health issues and that, and he'd been at it a long time. So for the last 15 years, yeah, I've been managing the project. I do most of the tractor work because I was born and raised on a farm out in Alberta, and came out here some 50 years ago with the federal government, with Statistics Canada, the agriculture division, because of my agricultural background. So I spent my 35 years, and then now I'm 15 years here. So I guess as project manager, maybe a second career.
I think it is a second career because this is quite a big project. How much garlic do you grow?
We grow about 2 acres of garlic. We plant 40,000 cloves of garlic.
Right.
And so for each one of those cloves of garlic, we will, the next year, get a full garlic out of it. Yeah.
Wow. Do you know what the weight of all that would be? Or maybe not?
No, I've never really thought of it.
Yeah.
We do buy garlic seed, and we bought about 600 pounds of garlic seed for this crop. And you usually plan on about a quarter of your crop going, using it for seed. A lot of places, they grow this garlic, save some of it, and then they split it and then plant it again. And we did that for a number of years, but we felt the garlic was getting weak. So 1 year, we bought half of the seed, music variety, and we planted half of our own seed. It was like night and day. The stuff we bought was twice the size. I don't understand why, because in some ways that's all we're doing is taking his garlic and splitting it. So since then, we buy all of our seed from a certified seed grower. So we sell everything of ours and then buy seed for the next year.
Right. Yeah. And what type of...
For the first years, we had strictly the music, which is a very good garlic, very popular garlic, a good, solid, strong garlic. But people would come in and say, oh, have you got any of that Red Russian or that spicy Ukrainian and this and that? So eventually, we planted 2 of our hills out of the 20 in the Red Russian, and it sold out very quickly. So the next year, we did 5 rows, and it sold out. For years now, we've been 50-50. Both of them are very popular. Like, some people don't like it too spicy, and others like it, the more spice, the better. Yeah.
And you mentioned hills. Can you explain to me what you're talking about with the hills?
Yeah, what we've done in the last few years, in fact, especially since I've been more involved in it, we take our field, and it's a little over 200 feet long. We actually have made a hiller out of an old snowblower that I had, that was a pull-behind snowblower. We make the hill 200 feet long, and they're about 24 inches wide, and then we can plant 4 rows of garlic on the top of that hill.
So you're basically going along a row, and then what happens is the soil is kind of just mounded up.
Yeah, it's...
To what kind of depth do you mound it up?
Good 6 inches.
Yeah. And then so you do rows of these long hills.
Yeah.
And how many rows of...
20 of those rows, and that, and we can plant 4 rows of garlic on each hill.
On each hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is for drainage. Thing is, we never have an issue with, waterlogged or water standing, and worked very well for us.
And so the issue with that is that for garlic, it's going to rot if it sits in water.
Even the last few years, when we had more rain than this year, you see a lot of the market gardeners who were growing almost marshland, lowland, you know, and that, and then someone would lose the whole crop because it was sitting in water, and it only takes a day or two, and it'll drown the crop.
And so for you, the hills are that prevention from the garlic being waterlogged. Okay, that sounds interesting. And then, so how do you go about the whole planting process?
So actually, we come in and make the hills in advance, myself and one other volunteer. So usually the day before, on the day that we're planting, then it will be volunteers. Sometimes it's a combination of local volunteers, church volunteers, local companies, even schools. Changes year by year, but we'd like at least have, like, say, 30 to 40 people here. We can plant the field in less than 2 hours. Some people find that surprising, but we have what we call dibblers. One of our volunteers from years ago, he actually designed some wooden ones. It's like a big pitchfork with four prongs, big dowels. One person goes down the middle of the row of these soft hills and makes the holes, and we have one person on each side putting the garlic cloves in. And obviously always pointy end up. We have to point out to everybody, if you do it pointy end up. So.
And then I believe someone else comes along with a rake. Yeah. And you can do the whole field in 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's incredible. It's a big field. How big is the field?
It's about 2 acres. We have four rows, and then we have space. And then for the harvest, we'll have, you know, even up to 60 plus people. We run a machine under these hills that loosens the garlic. And so these people are just pulling it, put it in baskets, and we haul it in here. So, in an hour and a half, 2 hours, we can harvest the whole crop as well.
Wow. So then once you've harvested, what do you do with the garlic bulbs at that point? Do they need any preparation? Yeah,
they come in straight out of there, and we have the big barns here at Silver Springs Farm. We built drying racks, so we have a whole big barn there full of these drying racks. And we just lay the garlic on there 4 to 6 inches deep. We have 3 levels for those racks. And then we have big commercial fans that we turn on and blow just to dry it. At that point, that's all we're doing.
And how long does that take?
About a week to 10 days. This year was very quick because the garlic came out quite clean because we hadn't had any rain at the very end, and also because it was so hot. Then we have people come in, they clean it and cut the roots off, and then we cut the tops off, and then we bag it, and then we sell it by the pound. We started that during COVID because before we just have it laying on tables, people could pick their garlic, but of course, during COVID, nobody wanted anybody touching any of their stuff. So we went to the bagging and selling by the pound, and it works much better.
We skipped a step, which is scapes. But do you sell scapes here, or what do you do about scapes?
Actually, it was a bit of an interesting story on the scapes. We had been, harvesting them for a year, but we were actually taking them, cutting them off, and throwing them on the ground. And there was actually an old Italian fellow that they had let him use a little space out by the garlic field. He was going by one day when he saw what we were doing, and I can still remember, he says, "No, no, 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 mamma mia," And so he said, "No, you can sell these." So our first thing was we were at some of the local metro stores. We would take them there, and they would pay us for them, and they would sell them for exactly what we charged them for. It really didn't work that well because nobody knew what to do with these. People didn't know you could use these things and make pickle them or make pesto or whatever else out of them. So after that, we started selling some right here at the farm. We now have one person who actually buys most of them because she has an online store where she pickles them. We'll do up to about 15 leaf bags full of scapes. Ends out $2,000, just for the scape. Again, you're not wasting them either.
Yeah, thank you to that Italian guy. Absolutely. That's great. So you've harvested, then you're going to sell your garlic.
Yeah.
What's the next step?
We sell it right here at the farm. We have a building that we take out to the front of the road, and we have a great location here. Then we buy our seed. And then started last week, it'll finish this week, we're splitting garlic bulbs into cloves. That'll get them ready for planting. We rotate the two fields. So the field that's been fallow, we work it up numerous times, get it nice soft so that we can make those hills. We'll do that usually just the day before plant. But if it's going to rain, we'll do it earlier.
Do you add any amendments to the field to try and get the soil ready for the new garlic?
No, we don't. The idea is that you plant mid to late October, supposed to sprout and then freeze down. And so after it freezes down, we then cover it with 4 to 6 inches of straw. We leave that straw because even in the spring, it serves as a mulch, plus it retards the weeds. But once we've harvested, we grind all of that straw into the soil. And so we've been doing that for 20-some years, so it's really changed the quality of the soil. Yeah.
What was the soil like when you started? What, you know, what were the fields like?
It was pretty heavy clay. Yeah, it was quite heavy clay. And garlic really likes the soil with lots of organic matter and that in it. Also, one other thing we do, we actually plant some hot Chinese mustard in the fallow field. Again, grew up, blossom, and then chop it into the soil as a green manure. But it's also for the nematodes that can attack the garlic. They don't like that mustard.
Oh, you said it's called a hot Chinese...
Hot Chinese mustard, yeah.
Okay, right. Okay, yeah, I didn't know about... I was going to ask if you had cover crops.
Way back when Continental Mushroom was here, they used to donate a big tandem load of mushroom compost. We don't use any chemical fertilizer chemicals on it.
So you mentioned the nematodes. So you're finding that that mustard kind of retards the nematodes. You don't get that issue.
We even got this through the University of Guelph. We haven't really had any significant problems. Before that, we were maybe losing up to 2 to 5% of your crop, where now we will find a few here once in a while.
And you haven't had any other disease or pest problems?
No. Some people have had leek moths, and we've never had an issue with the leek moth or anything else of any significance. Yeah.
Now, I heard a rumor that you might actually start growing some other crops on your fallow field as you're rotating them through. Is that rumor true, and what do you plan?
Well, that's everybody else's ideas they're telling. They're suggesting it because we do have, well, not only the fallow field, we actually have a third field, which we haven't really been using. And so now that they've started the garden project, yeah, then we're looking at potentially planting stuff in that fallow field or even in that extra field. Some have suggested is even the corn. At the very early project, they planted onions and squash and pumpkins, but the deer got them. Onions, the deer didn't bother them, but the squash and that, the deer would harvest them before they were ready. So garlic didn't have anything, really went after it, like say, other than the nematode, and it's a high value crop as well.
That's interesting how you came to choose the garlic. When we come back to the fallow field or even the new field, what do you think you'll grow on it?
Well, the one thing that's been mentioned to me was definitely some sweet corn. There's a demand for that. Probably, again, we'll try some of the pumpkins and that squash. They keep well, but realizing we would have to fence the area and that to keep the deer out. Natalia DeSemier, who had in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who she was a member of, she had a small group of young women, about 5 or 6 in her group, that were looking for some volunteer work. So they went on the volunteer Ottawa site and found OCAP. And so they phoned OCAP. They said, well, we've been thinking about growing garlic. So that's actually how I got started, was with this little group. The people here had never grown garlic or anything else, but they started with it. And they did try some onions and squash and that, but it ended up the deer got them. And so they really went with the garlic. So it actually became a project for all of the Mormon church groups here in this area doing it. And then there were other volunteers that got involved. I would say over the last 15 years, it's become much more of a community project, and we have government departments, schools, and we have businesses, like we have Petro-Canada and Sienna, Health Canada.
It's amazing how many times a small group of people start something small and it just expands and expands. And it sounds like the your church was very, very involved in this. Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing.
It was. Yeah, and they still are. I mean, they're still very supportive. And because we're trying to spread the work out, we don't want to wear these people out. So we've been able to get other groups and businesses and that and local volunteers to do the splitting and the planting. And then we have I think it's Petro-Can who put the straw on for us. And they've done a lot of other things. They've been excellent. Ribbon is another company, and I'm sure there's some I'm missing, but you know, helping to spread the load and keep the project alive.
Sounds like an amazing collaboration. I have one last question. So when we were outside, I saw you on your amazing little red tractor. Can you tell me a little bit about your tractor?
With those tractors, you can never tell you the age because they were the same for a number of years, but mid to late 70s, we bought it actually used out in Sarsfield. It's a little diesel Massey. About all we've ever done to it is replace the fuel pump and the back tires and that, and worked out extremely well. It was donated to the project by the church. I think it'll be going long after me.
Yeah, I like this farm. And the farm is amazing. The farm's been going through so many generations and seen so many good changes. Yeah. And the tractor's seen quite a few changes too. Well, this was great. Thank you so much for giving us your time and your extensive knowledge. And thank you all for listening to Gardens for Everybody. And please follow.